Your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. The final hour of the entire week of the program, and we're very pleased to be joined by our Friday roundtable guests, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Good to be back.
Energy guru Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experiment. Those two will compete against Sam in the Friday News Quiz coming up in about 35 minutes from now. Get your predictions in. JD at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. A lot of calls and questions around our electric vehicle conversation. And I want to read an email that is a question specifically for our energy guru, Isaac Orr. This is really becoming like the Isaac Show, which is awesome. It's great, except you have a terrible taste in sports teams. Scott writes in, can you ask why we don't look at more fuel cell or green ammonia cars? I don't know. I've never heard of the phrase green ammonia car. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is. I know that people look into hydrogen. I think it's just a matter of how do you get the hydrogen? How do you get the fuel cell? So one of the ways that we make hydrogen is we use electricity to either turn natural gas or water into pure hydrogen. And then you have to kind of work around all of these other issues that we have with fueling stations that will have it. So I think that probably fuel cells are less dumb than electric cars. Because, you know, like you never say, well, this is a smarter idea. It's just a less dumb idea, maybe. So I think California has a good amount of hydrogen cars on the road, but there's still like, how do you get the market for that? And I know some people have safety concerns about hydrogen. I don't know enough about that to speak intelligently about it.
Okay. Yesterday, Joe Biden came out, said, we got a deal, $1.75 trillion deal for Build Back Better, and was hoping to get that passed. It didn't get passed. Nancy Pelosi is looking at extending it. She stopped the vote yesterday. He's now off in Rome having non-video streamed visits with the Pope, apparently, and has nothing to go and share with other global leaders about the amount of your money that he wants to spend on global warming and climate change. And here's a portion of what Biden said yesterday that has brought about your calls, which we'll get to here in just a moment.
We'll build out the first ever national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations all across the country. So when you buy an electric vehicle and you get credit for buying it, you buy an electric vehicle, you can go all the way across America on a single tank of gas, figuratively speaking. It's not gas. You plug it in. 500,000 of them. These stations along the way. We're going to get off the sidelines on manufacturing solar panels and wind farms and electric vehicles with targeted manufacturing credits. You manufacture, you get them a credit for doing it.
He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He has no idea what he's talking about. And the vast majority of people that will be using those charging stations, which isn't a lot, are the very people that he wants to go and tax to the teeth when it comes to part of his plan, because the vast majority of Americans can't go and afford to buy a brand new electric vehicle, even if you do give them a $12,500 rebate, which is what they are planning on doing. If this was market driven consumer demand, that's great, that's fine. We were talking off the air, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. We were just talking about, you know, Teslas are cool. I don't know if I'd want one either for my daily driver. Certainly not here in Minnesota, where during the winter months it's not really viable. But we've been in them before. They're rad vehicles, and if I had some disposable income and I was going to purchase a cool car, it might go and be a Tesla, but not because of the functionality of it, but just because of the kitschiness of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go to your phones, 651-989-5855, and we'll talk with Jack in Burnsville. Good morning. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, sometimes I think the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing with these liberals and this electrical vehicle thing. They talk about the environmental impact of everything on the planet, but the batteries that go in these things, they could be recycled, but we can't get the lithium to be able to make the batteries for these wonderful electrical vehicles if they shut down all the mines. But we have shut down the mines because of the environmental impact, but then what do you do with the batteries? It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense.
Joe Biden up there yesterday talking about this was the equivalent of like Ilhan Omar at that rally earlier in the week where she was, or the Minneapolis City Council talking about law enforcement and giving them more power to go and have authority over law enforcement when none of them have any idea, you know, how law enforcement works, the training that is involved in it. Ilhan Omar doesn't, and Joe Biden doesn't, and the vast majority of people that are crafting this $1.75 trillion bill have no idea how this stuff works.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to Troy in Brom. Troy, go ahead.
Yes, I got a question. Why is it that they can't make an alternator good enough to charge them? To any electric vehicle, you shouldn't need a charging station.
Well, at night
just to maintain it, so you know it's pumped full after sitting, but it should be able to charge enough to run itself.
So that would be a perpetual motion machine, and those don't exist. But the way that alternators work in a normal car is they're using the energy that is in the fuel, and that's running the internal combustion engine. Yes, and that's what's running the alternator. So you need an external energy source in order to power the alternator, and that's generating the electricity.
Yes.
So.
Thank you. You explained it much better than I would have. I knew that, but it would have taken me at least 10 more minutes to explain that. So I'm glad we need to talk about
the court packing, so we don't have time for that, Drew.
Can we talk real quick about the lithium batteries and what happens to those real quick? Can you give us the life cycle of the lithium battery?
So they're actually really hard to recycle because a lot of times they're still charged. So you have like fire hazards that go along with this as well. Like California put in this giant lithium ion battery bank to try to prevent blackouts, and it almost caught fire, so it's been offline for almost the entire time it's been in existence. So the lithium ion battery
government.
Yeah, I mean, comedy of errors, like, you gotta laugh because otherwise you cry. The lithium is, they're looking at mining a lot of that in Nevada, but we don't know if they're going to. The cobalt is all mined in the Congo. Mm-hmm. And you know, a good chunk of that's mined by hand by kids that are washing the ore in rivers. And then they talk about how this is environmental justice. Mm. We are going to pillage the developing world for their natural resources. It's going to be developed in the least safe and most environmentally damaging way possible.
Yeah.
But then we,
no regard for human rights either.
We will feel so good about ourselves looking back at those baskets of deplorables with their pickup trucks. Like, and the EV tax credit, that's targeted to a very specific demographic, which is Biden donors, right? Like, it's all white, wealthy liberals that buy these things. Like,
right.
There's a handful of conservatives that do, but it's a kickback to a voting constituency.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go to, line three. We'll talk to James in St. Paul. Go ahead, James.
Good morning.
What's your comment?
Go ahead.
So, now that Walls wants to force us to buy electric vehicles, and now the state of Minnesota has this gigantic budget to buy vehicles every year. And you look around and all of the state vehicles are gasoline powered. There might be a handful of electric
if they're running. We had the story of the electric bus that wasn't running. Right. Yeah. Go ahead. Continue, James.
Yes. And then, you know, you have your look around this winter. You have these diesel powered snow plows. Well, what are they going to do? Put electric snow plows out there?
They would if they could.
Yeah.
They would if they could.
But they know they can't.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to Bill in Hopkins. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi. A question for Mr. Orr regarding the new generation of nuclear reactors that consume the waste product from the current generation. You know, the waste product that's up in Monticello, or it's sitting in drums and casks in the middle of the Mississippi River. This new generation of reactor that was pioneered by GE and Hitachi, they have them under license in the UK right now, and the estimates are that there is enough leftover nuclear waste now in the UK to power current needs there for the next 100 years.
Wow.
If they use these new types of reactors, which take up one quarter of the footprint, and they're unable to get licensed in the U.S. for some reason, they keep getting delayed. And the idea would be that these new generation of reactors would be put in the same land area that are currently allocated to reactors. And as the current generation or the old generation makes waste product, it shuttles across to the new generation, which extracts much more of the energy. And the resulting byproduct or waste from that step has a dangerous half-life of a couple hundred years rather than 10,000 years. The question is, why isn't anybody pushing this? It's a GE Hitachi invention.
Because government. I mean, that's and Isaac, we'll let you comment, and thanks for the call, Bill. But Just in the middle of his explaining of that, right? Because I hadn't heard that before. We have talked about nuclear energy on the show before and how viable it could be. But again, I'm going to roll it back into some of the commentary we had earlier in the show. And we could actually be progressing in a positive way as a planet and as a society with these emerging technologies. But as we've been demonstrating with what Joe Biden wants to go and plan out with these charging stations, not looking at this from a consumer demand standpoint, because of politics and because of government and because of a lack of a media that's willing to take the politics out of it and talk about these things actually intelligently, we're stalled. And so you have agenda-driven projects that aren't going to yield the results that we need when you apparently have viable, I don't want to say solutions, but you have viable options for different types of energy that we could all be taking advantage of together if we could put our politics aside for a moment and had a fair media. But to what he said, why isn't it happening? It's not happening because of politics. And that's just the bottom line. And it's absolutely tragic.
Yeah, there's a Carter administration rule that basically prohibits those kind of reactors from being built in the United States. So Mr. Build a Sweater, Deal with Less is actually still impeding progress in the United States.
Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
Let's go to line two. Kelly in St. Paul, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Just a comment on those reactors. I have another comment, but a comment. I think those are referred to as breeder reactors because they breed fuel. And I think the first breeder reactor was in Detroit that went bad, but that's not my point. My point is, where is the president going to get all this copper to build all these things and all these batteries when he denies permits here in Minnesota for companies to mine copper?
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Again, government.
Where will the copper come from, Isaac? Do you know?
Developing countries, most likely. Chile, you know,
using kids and slave labor,
possibly.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather it come from America, where we have regulations and we have workplace safety regulations and rules, and we don't utilize child labor and we don't utilize slave labor? Wouldn't that make people feel better about the products that they're consuming, knowing they came from responsible areas that didn't abuse human rights?
Well, absolutely, and you know, I was under the impression that the job of the president was try to build up America's economy, not export jobs to other places.
That's true.
Generally speaking, that's usually a good thing. Let's go to Wayne in Waconia. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, guys. Great conversation this morning. Hey, I have been looking for a new vehicle, and I was looking for a plug-in hybrid because I think the transition technology towards electric is much more effective for the country. Going to EV right now is just ridiculous, primarily because of the supply chain on the lithium and the cobalt. I mean, I'm not into virtue signaling, but I don't want a bunch of 8-year-old kids in Uganda digging for cobalt mines, right?
Yeah.
So the transition technology allows you to get like 35 to 40 miles off of a single charge using just normal house current, and then it switches over automatically to the hybrid and the internal combustion engine, which is a great technology because most people commute no more than 35, 40 miles a day.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Wayne. Let's go and talk with Bob in Wisconsin. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew.
Morning, guys. Hey, I was listening to you talk about the dude that called in for the alternator. And while you guys are right, the internal combustion engine spins, runs the pulley, spins the alternator, charges the battery. One thing that race car guys will do when they're building their drive shafts, they'll put a pulley on it, mount the alternator under the car. As soon as the vehicle starts moving, the drive shaft spins the pulley, starts the charging process. So, yeah, while you're sitting there, you're not charging. But I don't know why you couldn't adapt something that, as long as the vehicle's in motion,
yeah,
it could charge a generator or spin a generator that would help charge the battery.
I believe, and I appreciate your call, Bob, and it certainly is on topic and everything, but I believe Car Talk was canceled from NPR a long time ago, and I don't want to talk about car parts.
All right, ahead of the news quiz coming up, two congresswomen from Minnesota, Senator Tina Smith, Representative Ilhan Omar, they participated in a hybrid rally to support the expansion of the Supreme Court, and that happened this week. The event was hosted by Take Back the Court Action Fund and the People's Parity Project. Speaking after Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Tina Smith promoted the baseless conspiracy theory that Republicans stole the court after legally appointing two justices via the constitutionally established democratic process during the Trump administration. Now, she claimed the two stolen seats were decades in the making and involved a strategic collusion between corporate interests and the Republican Party right-wing activists in the Federalist Society.
She's an idiot.
She is dumb. What's interesting about this is going back to October of 2020 during a debate with Republican challenger Jason Lewis, she said that packing the court was not what she was looking at. Lawyer Extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien coming up. I want to ask you a question with regard to this. Obviously, her comments on this, but beyond that, I'm going to ask you ahead of the news quiz too. Is we haven't really talked much about if the left were actually to go and pack the court, what could the ramifications of that be with added seats on the Supreme Court? You know, we've talked quite a bit about the possibility of them doing it, but not a lot about what would be the sort of unintended or intended consequences of that. We'll get into that coming up next on Justice and Drew.
Twin Cities News Talk.
It's Macy's Friends and Family with our biggest savings on everything you need to get ready for the holidays. Like an extra 30% off brands that rarely go on sale with your coupon or Macy's card. And take 15% off fragrances, skincare, makeup, and more great beauty gift ideas. Going on now at Macy's. Plus, get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in store today. Details at Macy's.com/pickup. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Them.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew along with Sam. Sam is, of course, one of the contestants in the Friday News Quiz, but she is not the only one, for that would be a very boring game.
I might as well be the only one because I'm going to win.
From Center of the American Experiment, Isaac Orr making his, I believe, second appearance in the Friday News Quiz. And Jeff O'Brien, I don't know how many you've been in now.
Four or five.
I used to keep track of that.
I know my record is below 500.
I think going in the next year, I'll start keeping track again.
I think you had a spreadsheet going for 1 year.
I did. I kept track. Yeah. But then the news quizzes became spotty, and they weren't happening every week.
Thanks, COVID.
Now we seem to be back into a regular thing where we're getting a news quiz every week, so I will start keeping statistics.
So we're going to try to lightning around a couple of topics here. I mentioned this a moment ago. Tina Smith was at a rally with Representative Ilhan Omar. She has changed her tune. Back in October 2020, during a debate with Republican challenger Jason Lewis, she talked about packing the court was not what she was looking at. Now she's grabbed on to the conspiracy that the two stolen seats on the Supreme Court, right, the baseless conspiracy that Republicans stole the court after legally appointing two justices via a constitutionally, for those that don't know, established democratic process during the Trump administration. And she says, we're at a moment where we must fight to protect our democracy. So now she's for packing the Supreme Court. So, yeah, Jeff O'Brien, we posed a question for you before the break. You know, we've talked a lot about whether or not the left would do this, how they would do it. I'm less worried about it now that we're this far into the end of the year. They're focused on the, you know, on the Build Back Better plan. And as you get into next year, we're into the midterms, and I don't know how much they're going to want to be messing with this. But if the left were able to go and expand the Supreme Court, like, what are some of the biggest concerns or the biggest concern that you would have, intended or unintended consequences of adding more seats to the Supreme Court?
Well, I agree with you, John. I don't think they're going to succeed in being able to expand the number of justices. First off, to Senator Smith, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. Her change in tune was probably because of the Supreme Court striking down the president's extension of the eviction moratorium without congressional approval. So once again, when they don't get their way, then they want to change things. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, you know, what, 4 years ago, they were criticizing the Dominion voting machines. Now they don't. They lose the Electoral College. So now they don't like the Electoral College. Now there's a conservative majority in the Supreme Court, so we need to add more justices. It's always because they aren't getting their way and can't do whatever the heck they want to do. We now have to change something that's been in place for, you know, hundreds of years. So my concern, though, is how this even this discussion of packing the court can affect the court's thinking, the Supreme Court's thinking, because this happened back in the days of FDR when he tried to pack the court. All the, you know, because there was a more conservative Supreme Court and they were striking down all of his New Deal programs, and eventually, you know, he backed off the court packing plan. But all of a sudden, his New Deal programs are being upheld by the court. So this is more kind of, I think, kind of trying to throw like a brushback pitch to the court to make them kind of go along with what, you know, you need to find these things. You can't be striking down everything we want to do, or we'll go, you know, we'll go pack the court. So there's kind of an implied threat there of, we'll see what these decisions are. I don't think this court is, Roberts, the Chief Justice, may be moved by something like that, but I don't think, you know, the five conservatives, the strong conservative bloc, is going to go for that. I don't, and I think even that the liberal justices aren't really keen on this idea of packing the court either.
There was a lot of commentary early on in the most recent Supreme Court session when you were getting a lot of unanimous or overwhelming majority rulings that the court was trying to send a similar message.
Yep, exactly.
In the sense of, like, look, you know, even though we've got some liberal justices and we've got some conservative justices, we don't always fall, we don't always rule along those sort of ideological lines. And they, you know, we can have unanimous rulings.
Yep.
We can have, you know, liberal justices agree with conservative ones or vice versa. We don't need any more justices on this court. Do you agree that?
Yeah, I do. That back is my point about how, you know, the Chief Justice may be reacting to this. You know, a lot of conservatives criticize the Chief Justice, but they sometimes have a method to their madness. And that's a good example that you bring up, Drew, is by going out and having some early unanimous decisions with this new this new configuration of the Supreme Court. I think it was sending a message to, you know, this is working. You know, you're talking about a small number of decisions where it might be a 5-4 majority either way. We don't need to be messing with the court. You know, you try to figure out what each court's philosophy is. The Roberts court is basically, if you don't like something in the law, change the lawmakers. Go out, don't come to us all the time to ask to fix things.
Yep.
Go to you know.
And I actually like that about the Roberts court philosophy.
I do too.
Even though I don't, you know, even though a lot of, you know, specifically Roberts, but, you know, in generally, you know, I don't always agree with the rulings, or and agree isn't even the right word.
The result.
Yeah, because I accept Supreme Court rulings. Regardless of whether or not I like them or not, I accept them because that's how our system is set up and it's supposed to work that way. Once the Supreme Court gets in and they make a ruling on a thing, you kind of are supposed to just accept it move on.
This court,
whether or not you like it.
This court will uphold laws that are passed by Congress.
Yes,
this court will strike down things that were put in place via executive order.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I got a couple of items we're going to get to before the news quiz. PETA, people eating tasty animals, and their continued desire to stay relevant as the World Series gets underway this week. They called on a Major League Baseball to retire the term bullpen and start using a more animal-friendly term. The pun-ridden statement from PETA pitched the idea to the MLB. As the World Series turns into a pitching duel, PETA is pitching a proposal to the baseball world. Strike out the word bullpen, which references holding area where terrified bulls are kept before slaughter in favor of a more modern, animal-friendly term. PETA's suggestion was arm barn. That's right.
They want you to call it arm barn.
Sounds like a store that sells prosthetics.
It does.
It does. It does sound like yarn barn.
Yeah, you know, because like
but it's arm barn.
Prosthetics.
Yeah, come on down to the arm barn.
I like to buy my boots at the boot barn and my arms at the arm barn.
PETA said that in rodeos, gentle bulls are tormented into kicking and bucking and being electroshocked and prodded and are typically held in a bullpen while they await their cruel fate.
Is that what happens at your rodeo, Sam? Sam, are you the queen of animal abuse?
No.
Is this what happens at baseball games? Because I might watch the World Series.
Yes,
this is
actually what happens to pitchers before they go out.
Yeah, they give them electric jab. Get the taser in the bullpen.
That's what they're doing in there.
PETA,
little known fact.
PETA is fascinating to me just from the standpoint of, it wasn't, like, I remember going back to the 90s when that was still, I mean, I know they're a viable organization, but it was still something that celebrities gravitated towards, and they would still run ads and be involved in it. And it's one of the oddball lefty organizations that, you know, kind of did themselves in. And you don't see celebrities that jump on board with PETA anymore at all. And instead, they're just reduced to this type of nonsense garbage.
If the goal here was to keep them relevant or make them relevant, you got to question the decision-making. You have here's two possible angles. We've got the guy who the government has been listening to all the time on the global pandemic, who it comes out funded deplorable studies involving the torture of dogs.
Yep.
Or we can go after the bullpen term in Major League Baseball. Which road are you going to go down to be more relevant? I would have picked the first one.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, that's a great point. Why, you know, where's PETA when Fauci is revealed to have murdered puppies?
Yep.
Literally murdered puppies.
Mm-hmm. Such a horrible story. Such a horrible story. Yeah,
PETA's quiet. PETA's become like the Babylon Bee, though. I mean, they're like a Babylon Bee of the left, basically.
Yeah.
It's like they do these. I am convinced they know that these things are just going to be mocked. They're never going to get any traction. They're just there to get the funny headline that'll get shared all over social media and get, you know, some yahoos on radio to have a laugh at them. I think that's fully the intent behind moves like this, is just to get some laughs and maybe a few donations.
If you look at their Twitter handle right now, the name they're using is Arm Barn.
Okay, yeah, that tells you all you need to know.
I know. There's a lot of people that fall for anything that PETA puts out there, because really? If you go on any of PETA's social media pages, because I saw a post recently that they made that was similarly stupid, and I opened it up and like the comments, I mean, it's just an echo chamber of people just being like, oh, I can't believe this, oh, this is horrible, this is terrible, but they don't actually know what they're talking about.
Dad joke incoming. The only PETA that I'm down with is the one that has cards attached to it, so
I
there
love
you go,
PETA Brett.
It is time for the Friday news quiz, though. We have fabulous prizes up for grabs with the roundtable competing once again against Sam.
$100 gift certificate from our friends over at Twin Cities Cannabis is up for grabs. All you have to do is correctly predict the winner of the Friday news quiz. We've got Isaac Orr, Center of the American Experiment, vociferously imploring nobody to vote for him.
Do not vote for me. You will pay full price for cannabis.
Wow, Isaac, you really know how to sell it.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
I like my odds.
He feels pretty confident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a man that is exuding
50-50 shot.
And of course, the queen of the news, our longtime producer, Sam Sansevier.
I used to be scared about going up against Jeff in the news quiz, but not today.
Make your predictions now. You can email them using JD@TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, or you can tweet them using the hashtag TCNT or tagging at JDTCNT so that we are sure to see your prediction. We'll find out who wins the Friday news quiz right after.
It's Macy's Friends and Family with our biggest savings on everything you need to get ready for the holidays. Like an extra 30% off brands that rarely go on sale with your coupon or Macy's card. And take 15% off fragrances, skincare, makeup, and more great beauty gift ideas. Going on now at Macy's. Plus, get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in store today. Details at Macy's.com/pickup. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
To the final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and it is time to play the Friday news quiz. Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experiment, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, and producer Sam Sansevier will be your contestants. Three rounds in the Friday news quiz. We've got our audio round, six audio clips for two for each of you, where you have to tell us who's talking in any relevant context. One parody song snippet for each of you, where you are to tell us the subject of the parody song, the news story that it's referencing, and 12 headlines with lots of blanks in them for you to fill out. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into round one, the audio clip round. The order will be, it'll go Isaac, Sam, then Jeff. So we will start with you, Isaac Orr. Audio clip number one. Who's talking and what are they talking about?
Maybe some of it is from habits that developed during the pandemic when people weren't leaving their homes.
Jen Psaki about why people are still unemployed.
One point. one point. That is not the correct context, but that is indeed Jen Psaki.
That would be a funny context, though.
That's true.
Be like, oh, they're just used to not working. So.
No, that's her latest excuse for the supply chain issues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's you know, people developed habits of ordering stuff online during the pandemic, and they're still doing it.
All right, Sam, here is your clip, audio clip number two.
If critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money?
That is Mr. Ted Cruz.
And?
Talking about critical race theory in school board meetings, I presume.
Yeah. The real question is, who was he talking to?
Yeah. Oh, well, you didn't tell me.
Merrick Garland. Steel. For the steel.
Wow.
He didn't say his name first.
Jumping in with the steel. All judges' decisions are final.
That should be a flag on the field.
So, then 1 point, Isaac.
Isaac, that's the 1 point you'll get.
Jeff O'Brien, audio clip number three.
Thank God you are not on the Supreme Court.
Tom Cotton, senator from Oklahoma. We're talking to Merrick Garland.
And there you go. 2 points, Jeff.
All right, Isaac Orr, we're back to you. Here's audio clip number four.
The police have chosen to not fulfill their oath of office.
Oh, yeah, that's Representative Omar. Talking about why we need to defund the police.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, basically coming out in support of the city charter question, which that is the sort of the net result, even though they claim otherwise.
Gotta love those school gym acoustics.
Yeah. We are on audio clip number five. This one's for you, Sam.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars.
Yes, I finally get an easy one. It's Barack Obama. Finally.
What's the context? What was he doing?
Well, he was talking a lot about how Trump had impacted the, I don't know, like, just everybody being outraged about a lot of things.
He was considering the trumped-up culture war being parents upset that the children, the women, girls are being raped in bathrooms in Virginia schools.
He was campaigning for the Virginia governor's race.
You know what, Merrick Garland.
I'm going to give a point to Isaac and Jeff.
Wow.
Because they were both correct.
But I said Merrick Garland, and that worked for them the last two times.
And that was an easy one,
Sam. Merrick Garland.
Sorry, I couldn't tell.
Jeff O'Brien, here's the final clip in the audio round, number six.
I've lived long enough to know that we need courageous men and women who will sacrifice themselves to rush into harm's way to protect fellow citizens.
That would be Minneapolis Police Chief Arredondo coming out against the charter amendment.
Yeah, there you go. In uniform and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now he's got an ethics complaint against him.
Yeah. Oh, you listened to the
That was a very active first round. We got 5 points for Isaac. We got 5 points for Jeff. We got 2 points for Sam.
It's fine.
Peace out,
Everything's
Sam.
Fine. Everything's fine. We move on to the parody round. I got one parody snippet for each of you. We will start with Isaac Orr.
All right.
What is the story that is being referenced by this song?
I got a little phone in my pocket going ping-a-ling-a-ling. I got a text from Jamal. He wants my vote or something. But when I told him no thanks, boy, he kept on trying. He wouldn't stop sending me pictures till he sent one of his thing. This council is something else. No, you won't get my vote now. Just keep your to yourself.
Wow. That's impressive.
You like that? That's good.
Yeah, I got nothing. I have no idea what that is.
Sam, jumping in for the steal.
That is some staffer on Jamal Osman's campaign was sending out texts to try to get people to vote, and it had a really, really, like, just bad exchange with somebody, and it was shared on Twitter and went kind of viral. How is that not...
That was what? Around
the right answer.
Yeah, around it?
That was a very happenstance targets because
I literally described the situation. How is that?
Yeah, Twitter wasn't involved though.
No,
there was no Twitter involved.
It was a Twitter thread.
It wasn't a Twitter thread.
It was.
You are
text.
Not getting a point for that. You are.
They
you
tweeted
are
screenshots.
I didn't see any tweets of it.
That's where
saw
it originally
nothing of tweets.
Was shared.
No, this was a news story that we did on the show.
It was a news. Yes, it was a news story.
She's going to keep fighting this.
It became a news story because it went locally viral on Twitter.
I'm abolishing the filibuster right now.
What campaign was the staffer from?
Jamal, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, you're close. You're very close. But you're just not there. Jamal Osman got into a text exchange with a potential voter and ended up sending her a picture of his junk.
It was fake Jamal Osman.
No, but... We don't know. All we know is that the junk came, and then all of a sudden, after claiming that the person on the other end of the text was indeed Jamal Osman, after the picture of the junk showed up, he's like, no, I'm not Jamal. I'm just a volunteer, I swear. Which, I don't believe him. I think that was actually Jamal Osman. So, you danced around it. You got pretty close, but I can't award a point there.
I'm disappointed.
Well, sorry.
Well, Sam, is a chance to where are we at now?
This is this one's for Sam.
Okay.
Building back better's getting harder to see when the direction goes straight down.
That's it. That's what you get.
Build Back Better sucks. They're making zero actual progress, and nothing works out.
You know what? I'm going to give her a point for
that. I'm so discouraged now.
I'm right.
Yeah. Economic growth continues to be sluggish. We'll take it.
We'll
Sam back better.
Thank you.
Audio clip, or parody song number 3 for Jeff.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to vote on this guy named Prince.
That's it.
Yeah, that is the awarding the Congressional Medal of Honor to Prince. The Minnesota delegation is unanimously pushing that.
It's actually the Congressional Gold Medal. But
he would hate it, by the way, but that's okay. Give him the award.
That's close enough. We'll give it to you. After the third round, very few points awarded there. We got 5 points for Isaac, 6 points for Jeff. Sam pulling up the rear with 3 points, which is not unusual at this stage of the game, but she tends to excel in the headline round. Remember, buzz in with your name.
The headline round is like the 3 a.m. voting, right? The vote counting, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is when Sam shuts down the vote counting and all of a sudden takes the lead. This is counting votes in Georgia in the middle of the night. That's what the headline round is. Remember, buzz in with your name when you think you know the answer. Some of these headlines will have multiple blanks. So don't be too quick.
Headline number 1, you do have 2 available points with this. So here we go. Despite several bans, Blank by Blank still hits number 1 on iTunes charts.
The Let's Go Brandon song by Bryson Gray.
Yes, you got it.
2 points. Well done. Headline number 2, just one blank in here. Blank announces that he will not seek a second term as police chief.
Oh, Sam. Jeff. Todd Axtell, St. Paul Police Chief.
He made that. He made that decision back in June.
Yep,
he made that back in June. All right. One point available here. Assaults and carjackings of blanks spike in Minneapolis.
Sam, Uber drivers, or whatever you call it, Uber, Lyft.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Headline number 4. Ron DeSantis wants to give $5,000.
Sam. Police officers that leave their jobs for not being vaccinated or unvaccinated police officers.
There you go. That works.
All right, at headline number 5, Blank has the fastest job growth in the nation.
Jeff, Florida.
That is correct.
Probably because of that previous story.
Headline number 6, Blank wants to increase residential blank bills by 20%.
Jeff, Xcel Energy residential electric bills.
There you go, 2 points, Jeff.
That's why I told you guys not to vote for me.
Seriously, I was looking at right at you as I read that one. I was like, Isaac, this one's for you.
Yeah, the Prince one was for me. That was.
All right, headline number 7, 1 point available here. Lawsuit claims that Minneapolis took over private property to build blank.
Sam, homeless encampment.
You are correct.
Headline number 8, Dr. Fauci under fire for...
Sam, beagles.
All right. You know, puppy experiments.
Funding puppy experiments.
By the way, I'm convinced that story, it hasn't gone anywhere for two reasons. One, because it's Fauci.
Yeah.
But the second one is, I just think that the media outlets don't want to talk about it because of how horrible and awful it is.
I can't wait till he gets called in front of the Senate again. Rand Paul exchange with him is going to be epic.
Yeah.
There will be photos.
That should be on pay-per-view.
Oh, yes.
That should be on pay-per-view.
Get your popcorn ready.
All right. Headline number 9. Biden delays release of blank records.
Isaac, JFK assassination.
Yep. Bam, not getting shut out in this round. Boy, nobody wants to release. Trump didn't either. Trump didn't release him either. Cowards.
Why, what's going on?
I have no idea. Aliens.
What does it mean?
They're all involved.
Yeah.
Down and to the left. Headline number 10. Dr. Pierre Corey claims to have treated 200 members of Congress with...
Sam, ivermectin.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We also would have accepted horse paste.
It's not just for horses.
Headline number 11, 1 point available here. Blank to be the official carrier of Major League Soccer.
Sam. Oh, dang it, I know this one.
Do you?
Yeah, apparently. I just read it. Mm. I don't remember.
Isaac.
Yeah.
Who cares? Jeff,
I will give you
I'll just
judge's
carrier of Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Fox Sports.
Can I try again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sun Country.
Okay.
Yes!
She's like a child on Christmas morning. Yeah.
You're giving her a point for that,
sure,
Santa.
Sure, why not? Rewarding bad behavior.
All right.
Final headline. Actor blank, known for playing blank on Friends, passed
Jeff.
Away at...
Oh, God. It's the guy he played Gunther.
Yes.
Trying to think of what his name is.
Anyone?
Was his first name James?
James Tyler. But James Michael Tyler.
Dang
there
it!
Go. There you go.
You just gave Jeff O'Brien a 1 point victory with that assist. Jeff O'Brien, 12 points.
What?
Sam, 11. We had a tie until you gave him the assist. So everybody that picked Jeff O'Brien to win the Friday News Quiz this week, congratulations. Keep an eye on your email. Keep an eye on your direct messages. The loser, Sam, will contact you shortly and let you know if you won the Twin Cities Cannabis Gift Certificate. Well done, Jeff O'Brien.
What do you mean, Drew?
What did I do?
Because I answered that one question, and then you like didn't like my answer, even though it was 100% accurate.
It was about 40% accurate.
All right. So we've got time to get into one more story that we talked about at the start of the show, and hopefully Drew can answer the question to this, since he's the one person in the group who's actually seen the film, From the Blaze. Michael Myers, or who was originally called The Shape when they first made the original Halloween movie. It's a brand new sequel to the most recent Halloween film. But, however, Michael Myers has been accused of homophobia after killing a same-sex couple in the newest Halloween installment, Halloween Kills.
Yeah, he killed about 50 other people, too. Of different genders, different races, I assume different sexualities.
Yeah,
he's a murderer.
TMZ pointed out, this is actually a thing, the latest iteration of the mass madman is being accused by some Twitter truthers of being homophobic for offing a same-sex couple in the new film. Myers executes a gay couple inside their home, which used to belong to the Myers family, and eventually lays their bodies next to one another on the ground. Mm-hmm. One of the men is sitting upright against a bookshelf while another lies on its back, one knee raised with his hands folded over his stomach and his head in his dead partner's knee. TMZ pointed out, as Drew just said, dude literally kills everyone in his past, black people, gay people, young and old, any gender. It did not stop Twitter, though, however, going out there and saying that Michael Myers was homophobic for killing the gay couple.
Apparently being gay now should get you an exemption in a horror movie of not being a victim of the slasher or the killer.
You would think that if it went the other way, you get a complaint that they weren't represented in the movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, what are we going for here? That if you are part of a protected minority now, you that extends to horror movies? Now, is that the rationale?
They're not thinking about it rationally.
Of course not.
No.
therein lies the problem.
Here's the thing about Halloween movies or any of these slasher films, right? You know within the first 10 minutes of the movie that everybody except for one or two characters is going to die by the end. And you can usually identify which two characters are going to survive. And especially the whole thing with Michael Myers is he just kills whatever is in front of him.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
They're
not mad about the murder.
They're
mad about the fact that he murdered a gay person.
Hey,
he murdered an elderly interracial couple at the beginning of the movie, too. What does that make him?
Racist.
And
ageist and racist.
We got to get to what Sam learned today. The bigger issue to me with this whole thing is the fact that anybody gave credence to the people that were complaining on the internet. That type of criticism should have absolutely just been flatly ignored by everybody because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, someday we will get to the point where we can ignore ignore ludicrous social media arguments, but that day is not today.
Well, we're getting the metaverse, so
right.
You never know.
Hey, real quick, before we find out what Sam learned, anything you guys want to plug before we wrap up the program today? Isaac Course and the American Experiment?
Yeah, check us out at americanexperiment.org for more snarky commentary.
Check me out at chestnutcambrone.com.
For snarky legal work.
Yeah. Semi-snarky commentary.
Sam, what did you learn today?
Thanks for asking. Around 6:30 this morning, I learned what Facebook's new name is and more about their plan for the future. It's terrifying. I also, throughout the entire show today, learned a lot more than I thought I would about electric vehicles and energy. So if you miss any of those conversations and you want to catch up on the show, which you obviously do, just find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew.
I learned that Sam is a loser.
I learned that you don't believe in me. I was right.
You were almost right.
I was right.
You were close. You were right adjacent.
It's not even. It's fine. I live in my truth, and I'm comfortable with my truth.
As I mentioned, if you predicted Jeff O'Brien as your winner, you'll be notified shortly if your name is drawn for that $100 gift card to Twin Cities Cannabis. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday, 6 to 9, with D.C. correspondent Andrew Langer, voice of the Vikings Paul Allen, hopefully breaking down a win over the Cowboys.
Yeah, let's hope so, man.
On Sunday night, they need that win.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
Let's go, Brandon! Give me nothing. Open up the door.